This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for worshiping with us today and invite you back every week for Sunday worship with us.
What impression does your house give to the community? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we begin a new year, we are mindful of all of the blessings that you have given to us, especially for the Savior, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But today, O God, we pray that you will also help us as we consider the question, what impression does our house give to the community, the place where we live? What comes from it? How people are responding to it? And what good or bad could come from it? Lord Jesus, speak to us through your word. Amen. Hear God's word from the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." Here ends the reading of God's word.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. I found in him a and so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else would take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else would take the sin and darkness from me.
Friends in Christ, the Bible talks about the unique place a house can have in the building of the kingdom of God. Houses can be known for some particular thing. One evening, our son and his wife took his mother and I on a ride around our town, showing us some of the large, new, beautiful homes that have been built in recent years. They had visited in some of these homes and could tell us a few of the highlights of the beautiful things that you would see there. But after we had gone through that section of town, he went over the older, more modest homes, homes where many of us had been in and had had great times with good friends there. There were homes that could be remembered for particular things also. I remember one home that had a lot of great art. That was a house, as far as I was concerned, that left a lasting impression of good art. Now, then there was a place where the man was a musician. He had a big Steinway piano. And if you were fortunate enough, when you went in there, he would play you a tune on his Steinway piano. That was a house of music. On the more lighter side, I recall a house where the man had become a baker. He had enjoyed that so much when he was working that after he retired, he began to get serious about it and bake some of the most delicious rolls that you could ever hope to taste. That was the house of the sweet roll. I remember as a little boy, we came into a house where they had a king-size bed. I had never seen a bed that size. And so I said to my mother, as we walked through that nice home, how many people sleep in that great big bed? From that day on, that was known as a house with a king-size bed. And we went to other places where we had labels put on them, too. Now, that is not only true in our day, but it was true 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem. There you would find a large, well-built house, and it was known by many people as the home of John Mark's mother. You remember Mark was the writer of the second gospel and a close friend of Peter. His full name was John Mark. Mark's mother was a dear follower of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of Christ permeated the atmosphere of her house. In the 12th chapter of Acts, we read about this house. Peter had just been set free from prison where he was waiting to be killed. The angel came along and told him to get up and get out of there. And then Peter came to himself when he was out on the street corner. Now where do I go? Just for a minute he thought that. And then he said, well, the only logical place for me to go is to the home of John Mark's mother, for she is a dear woman, and I am sure that there will be a lot of people there who will be wanting to know what has happened to me, praying for me, and hoping that some miraculous thing can happen, that I will not be killed. So immediately he went to John Mark's house, and there he found exactly what he thought there would be there, people praying. The young lady who was evidently the maid there, her name was Rhoda, came to answer the pounding on the door of Peter himself. When she heard his voice, she was so thrilled that she ran back into the rooms where the people were and said, "It's Peter." And they said to her, "You're out of your mind. Peter is going to be killed tomorrow. He's under bonds. You can't get him out if you wanted to." Well, Peter kept on pounding, and Rhoda went back, and finally the door was opened, and in came Peter. As soon as he arrived there, they began to make a little bit of noise in rejoicing over what the Lord had done. Then Peter told them how the angel had come and released him from his being in prison. When he got on the street corner, he said, I had to stop and think for a minute, and then I realized, well, the people of God, without a doubt, are assembled at John Mark's mother's house, and there I will go and be with him. Because it had been a very emotional experience for Peter, and he needed the comfort and the guidance of friends who were his in Christ Jesus. And so to that great house he went, the house that had made an impression on him as being a place where God's children lived. Mary's house was known as a place of hospitality and prayer. Now if you turn in your Bibles to Acts 16, you had the account of Paul and Silas who were in Philippi, and it was on the Lord's Day. Since there was no synagogue in Philippi, they went down to the river, and there they saw a group of believers who had gathered to worship God. Among the believers was Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman, and she was most interested in what Paul and Silas had to say. They shared with these ladies the gospel, and when Lydia listened carefully, the Bible tells us that her heart was opened by the Holy Spirit, and she was converted. She became a believer, as did some of the others who were with her. After this great experience that they had had of meeting Jesus Christ, she turned to Paul and Silas and said, "If you will, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And they did. Paul and Silas' stay in Philippi was short, but before they left, the Bible says, "And Paul and Silas went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them, and then they left." You certainly get the impression that Lydia's house in Philippi was one that you would always consider the home of a Christian person. And if you wanted the comfort and strength and knowing more about the Lord Jesus and the faith that they were expounding there, go and see Lydia. Lydia's house was known as a place of hospitality and prayer and served as a church building where they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ together. The Bible teaches that houses can make an impression in the community. No question about that. Now we ask the question, what impression does our houses give to the communities in which we live? Many of our small group Bible studies are held in the houses of people who belong to our congregation. Now I am sure that in these small groups where people are often converted, come to Christ, He becomes known to them. They live with him in a very, very personal way. That house, that very place, means something to you too. As you drive by that house on another occasion, you may think to yourself or say to somebody who is with you in the car, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ met me in a very special way, and I became his. But there are other houses that are known for more negative things. In our day and age, we have the people who say, that's a house of drugs. If you want drugs, you can go there. This is a house of prostitution. And this is a place of other things that may not have to do with the good things of life. Here is an illustration. It was in August of 2008 that a tornado hit Parkersburg, Iowa. Many homes were destroyed, people were killed, others were badly hurt. A couple ran to their basement, and then that moment came when they looked up only to see the sky. Their home and much of what they possessed had been taken away from them in but a minute. The question these people had was, where do we go from here? And it might have taken a little bit of time to get their bearings, but then they said, our friends. And many of them said, our friends in Christ. And here the people came responding, come to our house and stay as long as you need to make up your mind what you're going to do. And there's some beautiful examples of that in this little town of Parkersburg, where people began to see the power of a house. Obviously, the family who lives in the house, but also the building and what that building actually meant. A sort of an instrument of God's that could really draw you to them, and Jesus Christ could be in the midst of all of you. Well, this is the house that we talk about, and the house that has been such a blessing from God to so many people. But what about our parental homes, where we were raised? I've asked many people, could you tell me, because you could see the depth in their faith, could you tell me a little bit about the home where you were raised? And then it would come. We always had our devotions together. We always went to church together. We often had Christian people into our homes. I could describe a home like that as being my own. My father and mother were rather quiet people, but mother loved to entertain. And one evening the pastor called and it said, Mrs. Larson, would it be possible for you to entertain in your home next Sunday noon the president of the United Evangelical Lutheran Church, Dr. N.C. Carlson? He's going to be preaching in our church on that Sunday, and we thought it would be nice for him to have a good meal like you can make. My mother and father were elated. And so the Sunday came, and we went to church, and we heard Dr. Carlson preach. And then he came home to dinner. There we sat around our dining room table with this man that we had heard so much about and was such a great messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The day was over, the years passed, and I went on to seminary. In the seminary in that same town, Dr. Carlson and his family lived. And so as we were sitting there talking, I thought, I've seen this man, I've heard this man, I've been near this man. I was visiting in his home. In fact, I was dating his daughter, and I was trying to make a pretty good impression. I can't remember whether I ever mentioned this to Carlson or not, but that was an opportunity for me in my home to have a great experience that I carry with me to this day of meeting this man of God who was to be my father-in-law. We spent many hours together. I rejoiced he was a spiritual giant in my life. But that was because of the hospitality of the house. I would never have had that experience. Is this a description of the houses where you were raised? Sometimes my heart is very, very heavy when I hear people say, "No, our home knew nothing of Christianity." Now, don't get me wrong, it was a good home. They saw to it that we were well clothed, well fed, well recreated, and well educated. But Christianity was just not a part of our house. So Sunday was very much like Monday. To me, that would be a terribly lonesome thing, to have a house without Jesus Christ. And so I am asking you now, today, could it be possible that your children one day will have to say the same thing? "Dad and Mom were good people. We couldn't ask for people in many ways that could be better father and mother than they were to us. But it is true. We never heard Dad pray. We never heard Mother read the Bible. We never heard them talk about the joy there was in the Christian family." There is an emptiness there. Plenty about sports. My father was a great baseball fan. My mother enjoyed going to the symphony and things of that kind. They belonged to different clubs in the community. They were in no way loners. But nothing about Jesus Christ. And so we are facing that same problem today, the problem of the house. Is your house one where you can entertain people who can mean so much to you as a family, who have got something to share with you? I often think of this whole thing in this day and age where there are these many beautiful houses, and it's rather easy to entertain in comparison with what it was years ago. Did you ever stop and think of the house? The house as a real vehicle to bring Jesus' gospel to those who come, inviting them to the house. You don't have to in any way badger them and say, "Now we got you here because we want to tell you about Jesus." But let them feel what he has left there behind you. And so, as I have studied through some of these passages of Scripture of late, it has come to my mind the house, the house. I plead with you today to evaluate your house and to see what a blessing it can be for you, for many other people, in the building of the kingdom of God. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that our homes, our houses, may be beacon lights of your gospel. It is our prayer, God, that when people enter into those houses, they may sense that you live there with us, that your word is open, and that your spirit prevails. Forgive us, O Lord, for not dedicating those houses to your whole cause. Grant also, O God, that therein may be found the word that strengthens us each day as individuals, as fathers and mothers, children, that we may know that our strength is not in ourselves, but is in turning to you and to your word. And so also today we pray for those who are sick, those who live in nursing homes, who have had to leave your houses and find their place of residence in another style and in another place. Grant them comfort, and may they find the fellowship of those who believe in you, that therein they also may continue to be fed until you call us to our heavenly home. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message will provide a strong foundation for your coming week. A number of devoted Christian Crusaders listeners has chosen to include our ministry in their estate planning. Estate gifts have become a significant part of our ministry, and we're grateful to all those who have chosen to make a final gift to support our mission. In this way, these donors have a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To find out more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of the upcoming program, which you can receive via email. To receive this e-newsletter, please call or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to sign up. You can also join our mailing list to receive our quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader, which contains a special article by Reverend Larson, as well as news about our ministry. If you'd like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Or you may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of broadcasting biblical truth.